and hates righteousness and hates all these things. And it is not in my destiny that I should be turned from those things by the mercy of God. What am I going to do? Tell God, oh, why'd you make me this way? Because if he changed even the least detail in the way I was made, I'd be a different person entirely. I wouldn't even be around to complain. There'd be some other guy complaining in my place. And so, this is why, oh man, you fool. He's the creator. You're lucky to be alive. That's the message. And God is justified. He has mercy on who he wants to. Nobody resists his will. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it? Why is that? People do that all the time, and it's foolish. Verse 21. To those of you who do not believe in predestination, in the manner in which I teach it, and the manner in which the Apostle Paul has taught it, and I'm just relating this to you, here's a question. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Does God have power over men or not? Or do men have power over God? Do men determine their own destinies? Or does God determine their destiny? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and the other unto dishonor? God can make a Moses and he can make a Pharaoh. He can make a Jacob and an Esau out of the same stuff. Meaning he could take twins and one honor, one dishonor. You know, because this idea of vessels, it's, you know, making one clay. I mean, like, look, you take a piece of clay and you make one into something dishonorable, like an ashtray or a crack pipe. And the other one you make into a, I don't know, something good. You know, a stand in which you place your Bible. Or you put something, you know, it's like well, I'm just trying to think of something people would honor. You know, you make it into a beautiful ornamental vase, which you place conspicuously in your living room because it is a thing of beauty and grace. And God has the power to do this with people. He makes people whom he intends to give honor and glory and blessing, and other people he makes whom he intends to give wrath and who will die. Because God does not owe eternal life. See, the fact that you're even alive is already kind of a... He's really being nice to us. That we're even alive. Because there are a nearly infinite number of people who are not alive. You know, I have six children. I could have had 6 quadrillion. I'm making that number. I'm going to have 6 billion. I mean, obviously, with the limitations of a lifespan, yeah. But I mean, I could have 20 children. But even among the children I had, I could have had different combinations of genetics that would have brought about an entirely different child. They're blessed because they're alive. And so are you. And if you can receive the gospel with faith, the grace of God is shining down on you. Don't turn away from it. Accept the teachings of the apostles. Accept the teachings of my mom. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. This isn't just about Israel, this is about those whom God has called, his elect, Jew, Gentile, the children of promise are counted for the seed, the children of faith who are faithful, like faithful Abraham. See, what this is saying is God has power, he does have power, this power he has to make all things for himself, even the wicked, for the evil day, right? And the idea is here, well, he's willing, he desires, he has this will. He's like, I want to show my wrath. So, In order to show his wrath, he endures, which with much long suffering, vessels of wrath, meaning fitted to destruction. That means fitted is, it means to complete or repair or prepare or adjust, fitted to destruction. See, when God makes it clear by his word, he does not love the wicked. He takes no joy in the destruction of the wicked, but it is something he decided he wanted to do. Show wrath. And to make his power known. So, he endures with much long suffering people that he would otherwise, if he did not have this purpose in mind, they wouldn't even exist. You know what I'm saying? Is that having sinners, including, you know, hey, I have been a sinner. God, the long-suffering God has been towards me. But I'm saying, with those on whom no mercy comes, he endures them. He doesn't kill them in an instant. He lets them have their lives, their pleasures, their joys. He endures them and suffers long. And they're fitted to destruction. But see, he suffers long. That's like, you know, the creature back in chapter 8 was made subject to vanity, but not willingly. Not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because God is doing something. He is bringing about the manifestation of the sons of God, which are his adopted sons. So that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy whom he hath afore prepared. Yeah, I mean, that means prepared in advance. You know, whom he did foreknow. He predestinated. Meaning the world is set up to bring those people to the grace of God, repentance, mercy, righteousness. Even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. 25. And he saith also in Ossi, that's Hosea, the minor prophet, right after Daniel. I will call them my people, who were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Interesting, in Hosea, this is quoted from Hosea